only save us from our past sins. He saves us from the sins that we commit today. And guess what? If we go out there tomorrow and do something, amen, he has already saved us from the sin that we'll commit tomorrow. Some folks say, well, I'm not going to commit a sin tomorrow. Well, I'm here to beg to differ. Hallelujah. Because, amen, I know me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Praise God. I know what I'm filled with. Praise God. But sometimes somebody may come and cross me wrong. And even though I may not go upside their head, praise God, the thought is in my mind. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, that's not committing sin. I beg to differ, because I remember a text. He said that thou shalt not commit adultery. And he went on to say that if you lust after a woman, praise God, you have already committed it in your heart. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you put it to mind, it's a sin. You may not act out the act, but if you put it in your mind. But the good thing about it is that he has already covered that with your blood, with his blood. Hallelujah. I said Wednesday night at Bible study, I said, man, if we really truly understand what it is that God has done for us, hallelujah, man, that would be, folks ought to be filling the church every day of their life. Hallelujah. Can I tell you why I say that? Because look, man, he died for me. His blood covered my sin. Amen. So that if I commit a sin, God doesn't see me. He sees the blood that has already covered me. Hallelujah. So it responds to the Holy Spirit. But as I get ready to close here, hallelujah, hallelujah, being zealous, hey, for good God, good work. It exposes our very reason for being. Yeah, you see, God has a purpose for each and every last one of us who has been saved. Yeah, he didn't save us, amen, just to sit down and look like we're saved. He didn't save us, amen, just to sit down and look pretty. And when he saved us to do a good work. Yeah, Paul climaxing his statement about salvation by grace when he affirms, and I want you to put this on the marquee, at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Look what Paul writes. He said, for we are his workmanship. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are a workmanship. Yeah, created in Christ Jesus. And he didn't create you just to sit down, but he created you under some good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are to walk in the good works of God. Yeah, you see, I look around the world that we live in today, and I sometimes I get drawn back, and I get a little sad, but one thing the Lord tells me, Joe, don't you worry about what sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so do. Just you keep on pressing forward. I look, praise God, sometime at the talents that we have, not only in this church, but in the churches all around the city. And I look at the fact, praise God, that we don't allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives so that we can do the work of God. Somebody say, well, I get tired sometimes. I got something to tell you about that. Don't you think he got tired when they were whipping him all night long? Some people say, well, I work hard every day of my life, and I can't find the time to do this or to do that. But let me tell you something. he found the time to walk up a hill called Calvary. And I'm here to tell you that he knew the purpose that God wanted for him. And if you just don't realize that, look at verse 14 again. It says, who gave himself for us that we might redeem, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. Let me see some zealous folk in here. This is 2014. Hallelujah. You ought to say, I'm not going to be the same as I was in 2013. I'm going to do a little bit more work for God. I may not do everything that I can do or that I should do, but I'm going to do a little bit more in the vineyard. Hallelujah. I may not, hallelujah, be able to read a book, but I'm gonna fit in somewhere. And if they need somebody to teach a lesson, I don't care if it's on Bible study, I don't care if it's Sunday school, I'm gonna step in and I'm gonna be there to help out wherever I can help. I may not be able to sing a tune or carry one in a bucket. Hallelujah. But if the choir needs somebody, I'm going to get up out of my sanctified seat and I'm going to stand up there. And the only thing I tell folk, if you can't sing well, get next to somebody who can sing loud. Yeah. And if they're singing tenor, tell them, say, I don't know what key I'm singing. I don't sing on A. I don't sing on B. I sing in between the keys. But all I want you to do is just sing a little loud so they'll drown out my voice. How many of y'all know how to pantomize? Say, well, I may not be able to say nothing, but I'm going to open my mouth. And as they sing, to God be the glory, I'm going to sit up there, get next to one of those loudmouth folk, and say, well, all the things that he done, he went to a cross, died a vicarious death, nails in his hands, nailed a spike through his feet, stayed there on that cross until the S-U-N refused to shine.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Come on, move, young people. Given us gold.
God has not given us a spirit of fear,
but the Lord.
But the Lord has given us
power.
Power.
Good
God
hand.
Has not given
Say it again, God has not
given us the spirit of fear.
No, no, no.
Young people, now I know we're a little light today, but I see the house full.
Yes, sir.
So we're here to praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. You know, sometimes we get to, we go to going with whether we got a crowd today or whatever.
Amen.
But if it's two or three,
mm-hmm.
or one accord, the Lord say he'll be a God in the midst.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right? Amen. I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm not going to even sing nothing or nothing. I'm going to just get right on into it. Amen. I want to talk to the young people a little bit today, though.
Yes, sir.
And so I want us to turn with me to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. And if you find the Psalms, and then you move on to Proverbs, and then you move on to Ecclesiastes. Amen. Chapter number 12. And everybody got to say amen. Still look and say, wait a minute. We'll wait. We want everybody to be there. Amen. All right. If you got it, our main focus will be on verse number 12. We want to read verse number 1. 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, our main focus will be on verse 1, but we're going to read 1, 6, and through 8. And it says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult or evil days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 6 says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. The grass withers, the flower fadeth. The word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank you now for another privilege of preaching. We pray now that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Open up our minds, our hearts, that we might be able to hear your word. And then grant us a fresh anointing of your spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days or the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Again, I say this morning, I want to speak especially to the young people. People here and perhaps those who may be listening by way of radio, and especially to those under 25 years old. And if you're 30 years and older, I hope you will listen in and come to the same Jesus Christ of whom I'm preaching to the young people about. Young people who are in college and high school, especially those who finished school or perhaps maybe dropped out, and maybe you're just wondering and living for the weekend, good times, and trying to make fast money, which is in many cases illegal. There's an old soap opera used to say, after the theme music played, the announcer would come on and say, as the sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. And I'd like to flip that and say, as the sand through the hourglass, so are the days of your youth. Because youth, just like life, is short. And that's why we read in James 4:1, he said, how do you know, thank you, Ursus, what your life will be like tomorrow? He said, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. In other words, life is short, no matter how many years we may live. And so don't be deceived into thinking that you have lots of time remaining to live for Christ, to enjoy your loved ones, or to do what you should do. But life is, because life is short, and so you need to make sure that you give your life to the Lord today. And then no matter when your life ends, you will have fulfilled God's plan in your life. And so again, I say, as the sands through the hourglass, so are the days of your life. Young people, again, I say, these are the days of your youth. And so let me ask you, will you waste your youth and a life without the Lord? And not only that, young people, life is also eventful, because some of the happenings of life are good and others are not so good. And also, what happened to me might not happen to you. But it's safe to say that there are some things that will happen to each and every person in the world. And so in this passage, Solomon mentions some events that will take place in the life of every person in this room. And so I want to talk to you, the youth, this morning, and with your prayers from that subject, these are the days of your youth. Asking the question again, will you waste your youth? Note the text says, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Because it's very easy to waste your youth and use up your time without doing anything important, and especially without becoming a Christ or making room in your life for the Lord. Because to you, I know when you're young, it looks like you have a whole lot of time left. Now, in one sense, your life has been going well. You've been seeing your power increase from year after year as you move out of childhood towards full adulthood. Every year, you get a little smarter, especially as you move forward. And some have decided that perhaps you're going to college. Perhaps others have decided that you're going in the armed forces, because year after year, you seem to be getting physically stronger. And every year, you become less dependent on your parents and more able to do things for yourself and decide for yourself. Well, now, perhaps some of you haven't reached that time yet, but you've been thinking about the time when you'll be your own man and your own woman. You say time is on your side, and so you may be optimistic about life, and perhaps you're thinking about just having a good time, about going to parties, dancing, beaches, and somewhere just to enjoy yourself. And you're planning on just living a while and enjoying your youth, and perhaps somewhere in your life, maybe you'll make a little room for the Lord. While others are planning on getting a good education, a good job, making lots of money, owning your own place, and all that is well and good, but sometimes we leave the most important part of our life vacant, believing that your future will be a steady moving up until you die. But I need to tell you, you're wrong, as well as being eternally wrong. And that's why Jesus declares in Matthew 16 and 26, he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And so you will never be as free as you are now to give your life to the Lord, meaning you'll never have the same level of opportunity to know God as you can do now. And note again, the text says, remember now the Creator in the days of your youth. Why? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, what does this mean, evil days or difficult days? Well, young people, it means that soon time will actually turn against you. Later in life, you will come to the evil days when you won't find too much pleasure in those days. Soon the evil days will come upon you, meaning very soon your body will begin to run down physically. I know right now your body may be in good shape, but after you reach the age of 25, and certainly after the age of 30, your body will start getting a little weaker. You won't be able to do everything that you used to do physically. And as you get older, guess what happens? You begin to experience aches and pains, and you become weaker until you become sick, and one day you will die. We all know that even the best athlete have to stop playing professional baseball or football soon after the age of 35, and certainly after the age of 40, because their bodies just aren't the same. And let's face it, you won't get stronger and stronger every year until you die, because even the strongest of us will be weak. And all of us will die. And death comes much more quickly than we can imagine. And that's why the text says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days draw nigh. And you know, so many of you may have plans for life, but you have no time for Jesus and coming to a Bible-believing church and being converted and live a serious Christian life, which is not a life, as you might imagine, a life of bondage, a boring life of limitations, because on the contrary, the Christian life is a life of true freedom. A life where you're free to do all things, but you have the power to reject and refuse those things that will bring defeat and failure in your life. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 12, it says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meaning some actions are not sinful in themselves, but they are not appropriate because they can control your life and lead you away from God when your plans take up all of your life and you have no room in your life for the Lord. Now, some of you may agree that it's a mistake. Throw yourself into a life of drugs and just partying and the like, but for the wrong reasons, only because it will interfere with your plans. In other words, the only reason for not getting drunk or doing all these things has nothing to do with the Lord, but it would interfere with your plans of getting a good education and perhaps making a lot of money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you leave the Lord out of your life, those reasons actually become selfish. Yes, you feel good about yourself because you don't do drugs, you're not in the wild parties and the like, because you're planning to do something with your life, but right now you don't have time for church. Perhaps you say, I do so when I get myself together, when the problems of life are fixed, and then I may come to church, and then I may give my life to the Lord, but I just can't do it right now. And so you waste your time with excuses until you aren't young anymore. And so the text says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Because remember, I told you that the different stages of life are not the same. And you will never be as free as you are now, and you will never have the same level of opportunity to know God as you do right now. Because young people, you waste your youth if you destroy it with wrong living. For instance, there's a parable told in Luke 15 about the prodigal son, where we have the story of a young man who took his father's money and lived the wild life of partying for a while, but when his money ran out, his friends left him, and he wound up in a pig pen. But I thank God that this young man woke up and came to himself. But now, just think about it. What if he wouldn't have come to himself? Well, he probably would have had died. He wouldn't have died then, but he would have lived a miserable, ruined life for as much time as he did live, he would live a life without any real friends, without money, without hope of getting out of trouble. Yes, Lord, especially since he didn't have God in his life. And so that's what happens to many young people. You go wrong, you waste your youth, you listen to your friends and everybody else, you get wild, and in just a few years, you've messed up your life and you're unable to put it back together again. You wasted your years, you wasted your opportunities, you've wasted your life. Yes, I know it's hard to keep on the straight road when you're young. It's hard to put your nose into the books and then work hard and make something of your life, but it's easy to stay away from Christ. It's easy to stay away from the church. It's easy to get wild for a few years and waste your time and your youth. Yes, you'll have a couple of wild years, and then all the rest of your life could be unhappy until